Without further ado, would you know, love to just ask you some questions, sure. get to know you a little bit better, and
sure.
yeah, be able to produce a good piece, which I think you know this deserves. So,
sure.
Thanks again. Give me a you know little bit of a background on you. Where did you grow up? You know, and I know that from what I've read, it was food that kind of introduced you to this space. So, if you can kind of talk about your upbringing and mm-hmm. what brought you into that world.
So I grew up in upstate New York, the same land that my great-grandfather lived on, in New York's Hudson Valley. And I grew up very much living off the land. I grew up fishing trout, eating it for breakfast, and my great-aunt knew the name of every single plant on our land, and, you know, we had honeybees and chickens, and there was just a really sort of visceral, deep connection to the place that I was living, and I always sort of just thought that was the normal way to live. And then I left... went off into the real world, went to college, ultimately ended up on Wall Street after college because it was very alluring for a college student to be offered that kind of money. And I think the silver lining when you're doing something that doesn't quite fit who you are is that it forces you to think about what you're doing when you're happiest. And for me, it always came back to food and cooking and being in touch with my roots and getting back to the land. And I mean, for me, I call it manual literacy. And I think for me, that means being connected with the rhythms of nature. And I was really looking for a way to get back to that. And I had grown up around wonderful food and wonderful sort of just natural, sort of very natural lifestyle. So I went to culinary school. I sort of took a leap of faith and decided to try culinary school. And I started working at restaurants in New York City and then also in the outside of the city and also in France. And I loved it. But there was still some sort of missing link for me because it was still sort of these very meticulous, beautiful little pieces of food in the center of big, oversized white plates. And it still didn't really feel like there was a connection to sort of what I wanted to be doing with my life and where I'd come from. And so I actually, one of the restaurants I worked at, we had to kill some turkeys for the kitchen. And we spent a lot of time working in the greenhouse and collecting the eggs from the chickens and shearing the sheep and harvesting the honey. And that resonated with me because that felt natural to me. That felt like that's where I'm from. That's who I am. And so I wanted to find a way to incorporate that into my career as a chef. And, you know, I sort of decided in that moment, I had grown up hunting. I had just grown up fishing. And I decided in that moment I wanted to learn how to hunt because it was a very transformative sort of watershed moment to, you know, take the life of an animal, hold it in my arms while it struggled and while it took its last breath, and then to literally be part of that process of, you know, carrying it back, taking up, plucking the feathers, having my hands in the, like, holding the warm part of the turkey 20 minutes later in my hands. And then also treating it with integrity all the way to the plate. And so I just decided in that moment that I wanted to pay the full price of the meal and I wanted to, you know, have the ability to, just really go from field to stream to table and treat every animal with integrity and also just be able to use every part of that animal, which I don't think we get to do when we go to a grocery store. I mean, we go down the aisle and we get a boneless, skinless chicken breast and styrofoam plastic packaging with no sign of it ever living thing. And just the thought of buying a whole chicken freaks people out. They don't know how to do all the bones. They don't know how to butcher it. What's this weird heart inside, this weird gizzard, this weird neck, like freaks them out. They don't want to get like, they literally freaks them out whether they can even touch it. And so I think that's really unfortunate, but it's also sort of dangerous, I think, that our society has gotten to that point. Because I think that when you're that disconnected to who you are and where you've come from and the world and the earth that we live in, I think it makes us not able to relate to this place that we live in anymore in the right way. I think it's sort of in our DNA to be able to use our hands, to have manual literacy, I just think that, you know, we eat animals and plants, and animals eat animals and plants, and plants feed from the dirt, and we all turn to dirt, and it's just like a very important organic thing that we need to understand and interact with, because I think it makes us better stewards of the land, it makes us better humans to each other, and just on this earth. And so, that was sort of the beginning of a journey for me, and I obviously chronicled it on my website, and it was what my second book was all about, and, it got a lot of attention, and I think perhaps because I'm not the typical messenger, I think, or maybe because I am the right messenger, I think I'm not the typical hunter. you know, I think people have this stereotype about what a hunter is, which is a white middle-aged man who goes out into the woods with his buddies and shoots at things and tells dirty jokes. And that's not what it was about for me. I mean, I used to see everything through the lens of food. And so if I could tell that story, and I think it's coming at a time, too, where people are really caring where their food's coming from. You know, people are very conscious more and more of our factory food system. And they're conscious of, you know, what happens to animals and the suffering that happens before they get to our plate. And I always say to people, we're all killing animals, whether we want to say, whether we have a proxy executioner or whether we do it ourselves. And, you know, you decide what your role is in all of that, in that process, but you have to decide, you know, the karma associated with that for you as well. I mean, I don't want to eat a cow that's lived in a feedlot and with bloodshot eyes and then jacked up with hormones and force-fed corn. And I think our palates have really become almost neutered. I think that we have this idea that, you know, we want to know what to expect when we put food in our mouth. We want every piece of beef to taste exactly the same as the next piece of beef. Every chicken breast tastes exactly the same. And if there's any variation, we get kind of freaked out. Even grass-fed beef freaks us out because it doesn't taste the same because it doesn't have the marbling in its flesh. So basically, for me, it was about shifting, like, our expectations about what food tastes like. And ultimately, as omnivores, we were once used to eating a great variety of foods. Nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, animal protein, vegetable protein. And wild animals are athletes. They eat whatever they want. They roam free. They have lots of muscle, very dense muscle. They don't have marbling in their flesh. It's just on the surface of fat. And so I think people have a hard time wrapping their heads around that. And I think it's much harder to cook wild game because of that. We weren't really forced to understand how to cook meat because it's so easy when it's marbled and it's force-fed. So my journey kind of became about teaching people that there are so many other flavors out there. And this is how you cook them, and you have to treat them differently, and you have to give them more care, but it's not that much harder. You just understand a few basic fundamental things about the difference. And so that was my second book. It was sort of a journey over field and stream in search of the main course, and it was full of recipes and crazy characters and dangerous sometimes situations along the way. But it was pretty transformative for me as a chef and as a human being. And then that led to my next book, which is called Modern Pioneering. And it's this concept of manual literacy. The idea that, you know, our grandmothers used to go out into the backyard and kill a chicken for dinner. And now that, like, we couldn't even fathom something like that. I mean, we consider barbaric for doing something like that. And so, but there's so much nutrition and stuff in between the sidewalk cracks, you know, that we don't even know is available to us. And I think, obviously, we're all busy. We're starved for time. We're surfing the information highway. I do it. I have a blog and a website and all, and Facebook fan page or whatever. But I think that at the end of the day, like, there's got to be a way to get back in touch with what's real and lasting versus what's fake and manufactured. And so this book, Modern Pioneering, is about giving people ways that are accessible. Because I don't expect everyone's going to want to learn how to hunt. I don't expect that's realistic. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. I think, you know, we all have different roles in this world, and some of us live in small urban spaces and we're busy accountants, but there are small things that we can do to step off the grid, whether it's growing 25 pounds of potatoes in a garbage bag on your fire escape or growing mushrooms on your 34th floor windowsill or upcycling and saving things that you would normally throw out, like red wine that's a little bit over the hill, you know, turn it into red wine popsicles or red wine bath therapy. So I'm a big proponent of sort of thinking and cooking with economy and thinking about this world in a way that's a little more self-sufficient. And, you know, I always say that so many of us have college degrees, but we don't know how to fix our own toilet. And I think that that's bad. That's a sad thing because we're losing sight of who we are on this earth. And so I think that's sort of what I've started to do. And I do these adventure getaways now, which I think is a big component of who I am these days. And it started basically by accident. I was getting a lot of requests, especially from women, asking if they could come on one of my excursions, one of my outdoor adventures, because they could relate to me, they could relate to their husband and his friends. Or they also had this there were sort of a theme in a lot of these emails I was getting. It was a sense of they were going through a personal struggle or they needed to feel empowered in some way. And they would tell me these very vulnerable stories. And I did it almost as an experiment. I hosted my first adventure getaway in Montana, and it was sort of a weekend of pioneer skills. Hunting, clay shooting, fly fishing, horseback riding, cooking classes, teaching people how to butcher and field dress. And it was a huge hit, and it snowballed. Since then, I've had waiting lists, and it's amazing to see the types of women that are wanting to do this now. They're not women who are born hunting. They're like me. You know, they live in Brooklyn, New York, or Chicago. They're in finance. They're lawyers. And what's so interesting is to see how there's this fundamental desire I see in our culture right now, people, especially women, wanting to roll up their sleeves and experience life more viscerally, you know, get dirt under their fingernails. And I think that's really exciting. And so I've been able to sort of continue that. And so it's sort of like modern day pioneer skills at work for a very busy life.